going to talk about the order of love and how it both influences and can infect the way that we see ourselves, God, and others. And we're going to start with loving God. God wants to guard our hearts, to guide our hearts. And He can only do that if we get the order right.
Welcome to the Sifted Wheat Podcast with Leslie Lamb, a counselor by profession, a minister of truth, and a lover of people. This is a safe place where she sets a path for others to learn how to move through hard seasons with confidence and grace, encouraging your faith, empowering your choices, and challenging your perceptions through the Word, the wisdom from years of counseling others, and her own experience of being sifted. Here's Leslie.
Hey guys, today we're going to talk about out of order and the importance that it is that we get the order right. So the last time that we spoke, I was sharing kind of about our own sifting season and about what we have been going through and focus on the goodness of God despite our circumstances. And so that's a part of this too, like recognizing that the things that are happening in our life are not necessarily a depiction of God's character or God's love for us, but just a natural outcome of life and what we go through. And, you know, my husband losing his job was a part of that, right? It wasn't that my husband didn't love the Lord enough or that God didn't love my husband. It was just a natural result of circumstances that happen that are out of our control. And so focusing on the goodness of God to get through that is essential, but that comes from our loving God. And loving God is more than just saying that we love Him, but it's exhibiting that love through our choices, right? And so when we're thinking about the order of love, it's given to us really in Deuteronomy, where it says that we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and that we are not to have any gods above Him. And so a lot of times, you know, people get kind of caught up in that. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength? And so when you think about that, when we're talking about our heart, it's not a huge leap to connect that to our emotions, right? Our feelings, our attractions, our whatever it is that guides the heart. So to love God with our whole heart is about allowing that love for Him to guide what we feel in our heart. Now, that is very countercultural. That is not at all what we are hearing. You know, we're hearing follow your heart, right? But then in God's word, it says that we should be careful because the heart can be deceptive. In fact, it says that it's deceitful above all things, right? So that tells us that when our emotions and our feelings are not connected with the love of God, they're going to fall in one of two camps, right? They're going to fall towards the love of self, or they're going to fall towards the love of others. And I'm going to talk in some subsequent episodes about how that can put us up to either be hurt or to hurt others. And so we want to be very careful of that. So when we're talking about loving God with our whole heart, with our emotions and our feelings, we're focusing on letting my emotions and feelings be generated through the love of God. So is my love for God more than my anger? Is my love for God more than my frustration or my sadness, right? Am I able to see the love of God despite or in spite of the feelings that I'm having? Am I allowing Him to manage these emotions and these feelings? And then the second part of that is love the Lord your God with all your mind. So what does that mean? Well, in our mind, that's our intellect, that's our thought. And in this world, we're learning more and more. Science and faith are not separate. In fact, one often confirms the other. Things that science is saying is good for us, the beauty of the Word of God is that it's been saying it all along. So loving God with your whole mind means that we're taking our thoughts, even our creativity, through the lens of our love for God. So what I'm creating, what I'm thinking about is going to be connected to how I see God and how I believe God sees me. And it's going to be guided by that mechanism, right? Not necessarily just my love for myself, which I can move my thoughts to represent what I want to represent, right? And we talked about manipulation. Like, not all manipulation is malicious. Sometimes it's just that bias, that personal bias that wants something. Therefore, my thoughts and my feelings and my creativity is going to lean me in the direction for those things. And so when we love God with our whole mind, we're allowing our love for Him to interrupt our thoughts. We're allowing our love for Him to guide our creativity or our intellect. We're seeing God through our intellect and not separate from our intellect. I think that some people can think, well, I'm too smart for God. I don't know how you can be too smart for God. And I also don't know how you can live in a world, and I'm not saying that you can't. I mean, obviously people do, but in my own perception, it's difficult for me to reconcile my brain with faith sometimes, but it's even harder for me to reconcile not having an intelligent designer, not having a creator. How does any of this make sense? And how do I find worth in life? And that's where it gets shifted, right? Because if my intellect is separate from my love of God, then my intellect can reflect my desires that, again, may not be connected to the love of God. So you see how these things can kind of build on one another. And then the third thing that he said is that we are to love Him with our whole strength. So what is our strength? Well, that's our actions, right? Our abilities. So we're moving through what I want and what I feel into what I think, because that's what's going to guide my actions. And the last thing is like my actions and my ability. So we're called to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole strength. And so recognizing that it is through the love of God that we operate in these things is what makes us more stable, right? If I don't have that stability, then as we're going to find out, when we're loving others, that can get completely out of whack. I can look for people to meet needs that God Himself positioned Himself to meet in me. Or if I love myself more than I love God, that's also going to put me in a position not only to gratify my desires, which might not be beneficial to my life, but also potentially put others in danger because I'm looking to them to gratify those desires too. And so it's important to understand why the love of God has to be foremost in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds and in what we do. And that's why I've kind of taken you on the journey the last couple months on understanding the love of God, right? Because when we understand the love of God, it gives us the freedom and the safety to love Him too. A lot of times when I'm talking to my clients, love is such a complex thing, right? To define it, how do we define love? Well, is it what I want? Is it what I desire? Like, what is it that defines that love? And we can look to the world to define that love, and it would probably define that love through a lens of passion, right? Or attraction, or even sustenance, right? Like, I love it. I have to have it. It has to belong to me, which again is connected to lust more than it is connected to love, right? Lust is ownership and love is connection. And so I have to first know the definition of love. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4-8 gives us a beautiful definition of love. Not only love in which we should love others, but first let's look at that as the lens through which God loves us, because it's perfect love. And so perfect love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud. It's not rude. It doesn't demand its own way. So when we're loving in order to feel better about ourselves, that's demanding our own way, which by definition is not, it's not love. So when I'm thinking about the love of God for me, and I'm thinking about my love for Him, it kind of needs to go through this lens of the definition of what love is. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. That is significant. When we're thinking about our own journey and we're thinking about our failures, the enemy wants to magnify our failures, but God doesn't magnify our failures. He magnifies His forgiveness. Because love doesn't keep a record of being wrong. It's not easily angered. It's not resentful or carry a grudge. And another thing is, it does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. So love isn't looking to get one over on somebody. It's not looking to oppress someone, right? So if someone's love for you feels oppressive, that's not really love. It might be what they say they do, but again, by whose definition? So when God loves us, He's not seeking to oppress us. He's seeking to free us. And so when we love God, we think about that. We want to be a part of what He's doing in the world to bring justice. We want to be a part of what He's doing in the world so that truth wins out, and the truth as He defines it. Not as I define it. There's no such thing as your truth and my truth. And I know that's a controversial statement to make, but there isn't. There is, however, your perception and my perception. There is your belief and my belief. But truth is something that's outside of us. And so if I'm seeking justice that is tied to any other truth, it's a false justice. So we need to think about that, right? Who determines what justice is? God determines what justice is. Why? Because He is truth, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So He's the one who gets to determine what is justice in the world around us and what is not. And this is what the final part of that, verse 7 is this: love never gives up. It never loses faith. It is always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. So when God loves us, He's not giving up on us. He's not losing faith in us and what He's called us to and what He's created us for. He's always hopeful that we're going to repent, that we're going to get back on track, that we're going to seek and find the truth. And He endures through every circumstance. So I can be sitting in great unfaithfulness. I can be sitting in hopelessness, but God loves me enough not to hold that against me, but He loves me enough to have hope to see me through that. Now let's flip that around to our love for God. Does our love for God never give up? Do I choose to love Him even when it costs me, or it doesn't feel good, or I don't see His promises? Does my love for God never lose faith? Do I choose to have faith that regardless of what is happening or not happening, what I am feeling or thinking, or what others are doing around me, is He still good, and I will press into faith instead of walk away? Is my love for God always hopeful? Will I still hope in God when I am depressed or upset, when I don't get what I want or what I think I need? Do I hold fast to His love and believe for a better ending than what I see right now? And does my love of God endure through every circumstance? Will I still choose to love God and follow His way when I don't understand it, when it doesn't line up with my plans or my hopes? That's love. It isn't fickle or temporary or conditional or noncommittal. We aren't talking about a crush or simple affection. We are talking about love, true love, the love that is God, and the love that is pure and keeps us safe to love others. So when we're looking at what it is to love over the next few weeks, we need to see it through the lens of truth, the truth as established by the Word of God. And so I encourage you, even this week, read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and I want you to sit with it. And I want you to ask yourself, do I believe that God loves me like this? And if I don't, I need to ask myself, why? Why don't I believe that God loves me like this? What evidence in my life proves that God does not love me like this? Where do I struggle to believe that God loves me like this? And then the second thing I want you to ask yourself is, do I love God with that same lens? Do I love God in all these areas? Do I trust God in all these areas? Right? Because as we're seeing over and over, there's a difference between knowing God, right? Or believing God, or believing that there is a God, and trusting the love of God. And so I want us to move through, I think I love God, or I know that I have a relationship with him, or I like God, or I like the idea of God, or Jesus is my homeboy. We will want to move beyond that. I want us to move into, but do I trust God? Because if I trust God, then I'm going to recognize his love for me. And if I trust God, then I'm going to be able to exact that love towards myself and towards others, which means that I'm ultimately going to be a safer person. I know that there is a lot of talk right now about how Christians are radical and Christians are this and Christians are that, but I want to say that maybe there's some people that put themselves in a label of Christian that are radical and do and live in a way that is contrary to the gospel. But I want to say that the majority of the people that I meet every day that say that they're Christians, that say, I follow Jesus, I believe God, I am trusting God for my future, and I'm loving others with that same God, those people far outweigh the radicals. And I think we need to pay attention to that, right? I think the world is trying to make it an ugly thing to love God, because it's, again, aligning love with a world mindset of what love is, more akin to lust and possession. But those who love God love him through that lens of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. So sit with that this week. Meditate on that. Let yourself look through each one of those verses and assess, do I believe God loves me like this? And do I also love him like this? Because that is the foundation for loving ourselves and loving anyone else. And if we don't get that order right, we're going to hurt one another. And we're going to be hurt. And I'm going to explain more of that as we go through this series. So thank you guys for taking the time and tuning in and staying connected. I love that. And I love seeing your feedback. I get those posts when y'all tag me and you share episodes. It blesses my heart, because this isn't an easy thing to do, to show up and to be vulnerable and to tell my story and to share the truth, but it's a necessary thing. And I think the more that we move into 2024 and the rest of our lives, I'm hoping that I'm bringing to you foundational things that aren't religious messages, but they're foundational to reestablish relationship with the God who loves you and sees you and has good plans for you. So stay with me, stick with this series. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. I had the opportunity to actually share this one time when I was speaking, and the women in that group were highly affected and impacted. And I'm still kind of getting some testimonies from that. So that was what I felt like Holy Spirit was leading me to bring this to the forefront in the podcast too. So focus on love this week and assess your love for God and God's love for you. And I know it's going to strengthen you because it strengthens me. And so I'm so excited that you're here. And I know that God brought you here intentionally. So I will connect with you next time. And the next thing that we're going to talk about is loving self and how that's different than the world's idea of self-love. So I hope you'll tune in and I hope you'll share if there's anything in this episode that you liked, or I'm going to be posting a reel. If there's anything in the reel that you like, be sure and share it with others so that we can kind of get the word out and other people can find the Sifted Wheat podcast. I love you guys. And I pray that as you're listening and as you're engaging, it's more than just entertaining, but it's healing.